Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Calvin Corbett. I want to thank you for joining us for Hope for Your Heart. We are going through a series called Breakthrough Prayer. And for 21 days, we're doing Breakthrough Prayer, and I'm doing Facebook Live each night. And as you listen to this broadcast, I wanted to share just a few things with you on how you can pray. You know, it's time to pray. At our nation's history right now, we need to pray now more than ever before. So let's think about breakthrough prayer. What is breakthrough prayer? Why do we need to have breakthrough prayer? Let's look at what that word breakthrough, first of all, means. Now, according to the dictionary, breakthrough is a sudden and a dramatic and an important advance. It's a sudden and an important advance. Something that happens dramatically, something that happens quickly. Science has breakthroughs, for example. Technology has breakthroughs. Medicine has breakthroughs. An important and sudden dramatic discovery. Diplomacy has breakthroughs. We are praying for a breakthrough cure for COVID-19. We're praying for a breakthrough vaccine. Can you imagine having a breakthrough in your marriage? Can you imagine having a breakthrough in all of your relationships? Can you imagine what your career would be like if you had a breakthrough right now? Now, the opposite of a breakthrough, however, is a setback. If you're not moving forward, then you're either stalled or you're going in the opposite of that breakthrough, and that would be a setback. You're at the impasse or you're at a dead end. You're at a deadlock. You're stalemated. You say, man, I'm not making any progress in my life. I'm not having any progress in my marriage. I'm not making any progress in my career. I need a breakthrough. Well, you could have a setback or you could have a breakthrough. I believe the choice is ours. We need to move on forward. We need to have that personal and that spiritual breakthrough too. You know, I've had many in my lives, and I'm so thankful for these breakthroughs that God has allowed to come into my life. That all of a sudden, that aha moment where God is working and He's allowing something to come through in your life. Many years ago, I had a breakthrough at 950 Metropolitan Avenue, Boston, Massachusetts. Now, most of you have no idea what that address is, but that is the address for Boston Bible College, where one day, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was crying out to God. And I needed a breakthrough because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was miserable. I was fighting two things. On one hand, I wanted to run my own life. On the other hand, I wanted God to run my life. I was in this tug of war. And I finally says, okay, I'm going to relinquish control of my life, and I'm casting everything over to you, Lord. And at 2 o'clock in that morning, it was a February morning, a winter cold morning, I had a breakthrough where God spoke to me, not in an audible voice. I know some people hear audible voices of God speaking to them. This was not an audible voice. This was more of God speaking to my spirit and God saying to me, you need to stop messing around. You need to relinquish full control of your life and trust me exclusively. Trust me with everything. And I had that breakthrough moment. Now, I don't know if you have figured out about breakthrough moments or not in your life, but C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but He shouts to us in our pain. Now, the reason you may not be having a breakthrough, and I don't mean to offend you with this one, okay? The reason that you may not be having a breakthrough is because you haven't experienced enough pain. You've been able to kind of manipulate your circumstances. You've been able to try to compensate for some of your weaknesses, but you haven't hit the point where you have nothing else to do, nothing else to offer. God's up in heaven and He's saying, hello, would you listen to me? I'm going to have to increase the pain level so I can get your attention. You see, God often uses pain to grab our attention. God often uses pain so that we can have a breakthrough moment. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 30, it says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody agree with that? We've all had experiences with that, right? We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. When things get bad, when things get really, really bad, that's when we are forced to make a change. That's when we are forced to have that breakthrough moment. I've discovered that breakthroughs typically happen when you seek them. Psalm 77:2 says, "When I was in distress, I sought the Lord." I'm seeking a breakthrough. Every night I stretched out my hands in prayer to Him. How do I seek the Lord? Your hands in prayer to Him when you're in pain, when you're in distress, when you're in confusion, when you're overwhelmed, when you're outnumbered or you're under-resourced. 1 Chronicles 14:8-11 is a fascinating passage of scripture. The Philistines had learned that David had been made king of Israel. And so they decided to mobilize all of their forces against him. They were going to attack him and they were going to enslave the nation of Israel. But David heard about the news and he moved to his fortified place. Then the Philistine army moved in and they spread out across the entire valley. So David, not only missed this, David's back's against the wall. He's in a fortified place, but David sought the Lord in prayer. And he asked, "Should I go fight these Philistines? Will you give them over to me?" The Lord replied, "Yes, go ahead. You can certainly count on me to give you the victory." So David went out and he defeated them. Then David said, "I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood." So he named that place, "The Lord Broke Through." Now let me give you a second example. This is another king in Israel. He's got a weird name. He's not King David. His name is King Jehoshaphat. How'd you like to have that for a name? Jehoshaphat. I'm sure that at school, he probably had people making fun of him with that name. But Jehoshaphat was a guy that God used in a very special way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, it says, "After this," as we look at this phrase, "after this, three enemies' forces joined against Judah." Here are these three enemies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Munites. They came up against the king Jehoshaphat. They had this vast army coming against him. Jehoshaphat was alarmed and he was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for everyone. So all the people came together to seek the Lord and to find help from the Lord. They came from everywhere to seek the Lord. Now let's break this down just a little bit. Now here's this guy, Jehoshaphat. He's got things that are coming up against him. He's got three major enemies, but he has four major things that he does right to defeat the enemy. First thing he does, instead of worrying, he refocuses from worry to focusing on God. The second thing that we see he does, he makes a resolution. He resolved. That means he made a choice. "I'm going to focus and I'm going to seek God. I'm going to find out what God wants me to do with my life. I want to know God's will." He resolved to seek the Lord. Number three, and by the way, this third point is something that I think is a lost discipline within the Christian faith. He fasted. He actually called for a national fast because the whole nation was under attack. The whole nation said, "We're going to go without food," and saying, "God, we're really serious about this. We need business. We need a breakthrough. We want your input on this." And number four, it says, all the people joined together to seek God through prayer. The result was a miraculous victory. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. You can read the whole story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's one of my favorite stories. But the bottom line is that when these three enemies came together, God says, "You won't have to fight this battle. You just sit back and watch. I'm going to confuse them, and they're going to end up defeating themselves." He confuses the three enemies. They start fighting with each other. They start killing each other off. They all die. And Israel walks into the valley, and they get to pick up all the spoils of the war. It took about 3 days to take up all the spoils of the war. And so the name of that place, the Valley of Blessing, and now that Valley of Battle becomes a Valley of Blessing. God has a way of doing it, doesn't he? Oftentimes at our times of deepest despair, when we're at the end of ourselves and we're fearful that we're going to be defeated, God comes through at just the right time. I remember way back in 2001, that was a long time ago, our church was getting ready to buy a piece of property, and God was about to give us 35 acres of land. We went through a lot of steps to be able to acquire this property. And one night we gathered out on the property, and our church at that time was comprised of about 50% teenagers under the age of 21 and 50% adults. And we just circled up and we said, Lord, we'd love to have you give us this property. And we're just claiming it in the name of Christ. And I walked all over that property at 35 acres and said, Lord, would you give us this land? And I remember just a few months prior to that, we were literally on the verge of bankruptcy. As a matter of fact, I had to take some of my personal money and put it into the church checking account because I thought we had written a bad check to youth camp. We had sent a bunch of teenagers up to youth camp and wrote a check for their week at camp. And things were so tight for us at that time, I thought for sure we were going to bounce a check. So I put some money in there to cover that check. And that happened 6 months prior to us being able to buy our property. Now, how does God do that? How does God take a church that's on the verge of bankruptcy and then say, I'm going to give 35 acres of land? Only God can do that. Take that valley of the battle and turn it into a valley of blessing. I think in our case, God says, you know what? I don't want any of you getting credit for this. I don't want any denomination getting a credit for this. I don't want the pastor to get credit for this. This is a work that only God can do. And God worked miraculously. Well, how do I pray for a breakthrough? Well, number one, if you really want a breakthrough in your life, you have to worry about nothing. That's right. Worry about nothing. Philippians 4, 6a says, do not worry about anything. Well, that pretty much covers it all. The New Amplified Version says, don't fret, don't fear, don't have any anxiety. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what is worry? Worry is focusing on fear instead of God. Worry is a form of control. We worry about things that we can't control. Then we become controlled by worry. If I prayed as much as I worried, I'd be controlled by prayer, not by worry. Romans 8:6 says, thinking that is controlled by my sinful nature leads to death. But thinking that is controlled by the Spirit leads to life and to peace. So you can know how you're living your life. If you're at peace, that means you're not living within fear. What is that peace that passes all understanding? That peace means it's given to me by God. I'm at full peace in the midst of the storm. I don't humanly understand it. Humanly, everything's falling apart around me, but I am still at peace. You know, there are other gifts that God gives us that are not fully comprehended by us. The gift of salvation, for example, is described as an indescribable gift. You know, the complexity of the wisdom of God's plan is inscrutable. According to Ephesians 3:19, the love of Christ is something else that is so great that we will not fully understand it. Likewise, human reasoning is incapable of fully comprehending the peace of God. The believer who places his full confidence in loving God and is thankful for every circumstance will possess a supernatural peace. That is, an inner calm will dominate his heart. The faithful believer will know peace. His heart and mind will be guarded by it. Despite the tempest that may be raging around us, we have peace within us. No one, especially those outside of Christ, will be able to fathom that peace. To most, it will remain a mystery how someone can be so serene and so peaceful in the midst of turmoil. That peace comes from being in a right relationship with God. It is not the peace that the world offers. World's peace depends on having favorable circumstances. If things go well, then we feel peaceful. When things go awry, then peace quickly dissipates. Jesus made the distinction between his peace and the world's vacillating peace when he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives you. Let not your heart be troubled." Well, how can I switch my focus? How can I be not thinking about worrying and focusing on this peace that passes all understanding? Well, obviously, I have to switch my focus. In Daniel chapter 9, we learn that Daniel focused on fasting and praying. Daniel says, "When I turned to the Lord and I pleaded with him with prayer and fasting, he heard me." You know, Daniel wasn't the only guy to do that. Ezra also led a revival in the Old Testament in Ezra 8:23. And he says, we fasted and we earnestly prayed that God would take care of us, and he heard our prayers. You know, the first habit that the Bible says that we should have in Ecclesiastes 3:9 is that we ought to understand there's a time for everything, and there's a season for every activity under heaven. Now, you guys may remember that old Bob Dylan song, Turn, 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 which comes from this passage, and Judy Collins and the Byrds, and a lot of people covered that Dylan song, which is just part of this passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that says there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest, there's a time to weep, there's a time to rejoice, there's a time to dance, and there's a time to mourn. Life is full of opposites. It says there's a right time to do everything. There's a time to feast, and there's a time to fast. Well, if we're going to have breakthrough prayer, here's the second thing that we've got to do. We got to pray about everything. We learn, first of all, we don't worry about anything, but we pray about everything. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries, give all your cares to God, because he cares what happens to you. Psalm 88:9, David says, every day, Lord, I lift up my hands to you in prayer, and I call to you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, if you're driving, you might not be able to do this, but I want you to lift up your left hand. And on your left hand, you have five fingers. Well, you have four fingers and a thumb, okay? On your left hand, I want you to look at your thumb. As you begin praying, that thumb should represent your family and your friends. So pray for your family and friends. And then your index finger. You know, we usually point with our index finger. Index fingers to remind us to pray for teachers and for leaders, those who are guiding us through life. The middle finger, the tallest finger, for most people, the tallest finger, that is praying for those people of influence. Those who God has placed in our society who influence a whole lot of people. Let's pray that they use their influence for good and not for bad. And then on your left finger, you take that weak finger, the ring finger. That is the weakest finger that you have. That is to pray for those who are weak in this world. Pray for the children. Pray for those who need assistance, those who have special needs. Spend some time praying for them. And then that smallest little finger, your pinky, on your left hand, that is last but not least, you pray for yourself. All of that is on your left hand as you are praying. Then I want you to take your right hand and to put your right hand, and then you see that thumb. So as you're praying, you pray for your heart. As you're raising up your right hand, that thumb is closest to your heart. Pray that God will guard your heart. You know, the Bible says, above all, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. The next little finger, the index finger, talks about priorities. Help me to have the right priorities. Help me to go in the right direction with my life. And then the middle finger on your right hand, that tallest finger, pray for my influence, pray for my example. You know, everybody has somebody who's watching them. Even if you feel like you're not a very popular person, everybody has a circle of influence of at least six people. By that, I mean, if you were to die right now, at least six people would be greatly impacted by your demise. How are you managing that influence? Pray that God would allow you to be a good influence. And then the ring finger on your right hand, pray for those relationships that you have in your life, those friendships that you have. Pray that you will have godly friendships, that you will have healthy relationships, not codependent relationships, not using other people. You know, it's amazing as you think about life. We are told to use things and to love people. But so many times we get that backwards, right? We love things and we use people. So pray that your relationships will be solid. And then that small little pinky finger, pray for material blessings. Pray that God will bless you financially so that you can pay your bills, so that you can be generous in helping others. You know, God wants to take care of your needs, and there's nothing wrong with praying for God to provide for our daily bread. Well, here's the third thing that you've got to pray if you want to have breakthrough prayer. We learned that we pray about everything, we worry about nothing, but we thank God in everything. Going back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Ask God for whatever you need, but always do it with thanksgiving, asking him with a thankful heart for all that he does. You know, gratitude is the breakthrough attitude that you need to have if you're going to be successful in having a breakthrough life. The more grateful you are in life, the more breakthroughs you'll have in life. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. David said in Psalm 116, I will offer you my sacrifice and I will offer you thanksgiving. You know, God brings blessings out of buffeting. God brings peace and promises, sometimes in pain. He can bring good out of bad. That's what God does. He transforms bad things in our lives into good things, and he uses them for good. It doesn't say you're supposed to be grateful for bad things that happen. Now, that's not the right way to be grateful. But you are to be thankful in what's going to happen in the midst of that process. We know that all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. You see, I know God has a plan for my life. I know God uses everything in my life. It's not going to last forever, this pain. So I can understand that heaven is for real, and I can understand that God is developing my character now, and he will allow me to make it through to the other side. I can give you 50 things that I could be thankful for. Instead of saying, why is this happening? I should be asking myself, what do you want me to learn through this, Lord? When I learn it, then I grow. The more I grow like Christ, the more breakthroughs I will have in my life. Now that's a good thing. He says, give thanks in all things. God wants you to give thanks. We're going to have Thanksgiving every day of the year. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day in the life of a Christian. Well, here's some things that I think will help you to navigate this is write out a thank you list. Tell the Lord how thankful you are, Psalm 18, verse number 1 says. Here's many things that you could give thanks for. I'm going to give you this list quickly. My salvation, God's word, my family. Every day, I thank the Lord for my 5 children. I pray for them by name. I thank the Lord for my wife. I know something about me that my family knows about me. I'm not the easiest person to live with. And so I thank the Lord that they put up with my nonsense and they tolerate me and they love me in spite of myself. I thank the Lord for my extended family. That's the godly influences in my life, right? My mom and my dad. I thank the Lord for those brothers and sisters in Christ that are close to me. I thank the Lord for the leadership within our church, our pastors, our elders, our deacons, our worship team, our small group leaders. I thank God for the support that I have in my small group. They pray for me. They tolerate my long teaching sessions. I thank the Lord for my congregation. They tolerate my long sermons that sometimes ramble on and on and on. I thank God for a prayer team that prays for me every Thursday morning and covers our church in prayer. I thank the Lord for the blessings of material blessings, good health. I thank the Lord for giving me somewhat of a sound mind. I even have got to the point where I thank the Lord for autism because I have seen what God has done through my son who has autism. Now, autism is not a good thing. Don't take me the wrong way. But I've learned so many lessons about this journey of trusting God and the blessing that comes because I have an opportunity to help others who share in the same journey of walking through autism. I thank God for those who are givers within our church, who sacrificially give. I thank God for those who serve in our church. Those who quietly serve are a blessing to our church. I thank God for our nation and the freedom that we have to worship. I thank God for those who protect us, the police and the fire and the military and all those who serve our community. I thank God for seasons in life, not only for the season in nature, but I also thank God for the seasons that we experience in our lives. I turned 55 on the day that I'm doing this broadcast. I thank God that I made it to be 55. I love being this age. I wouldn't want to be a teenager again. I wouldn't want to be a young adult again. I'm not quite ready to be a senior citizen yet, but I'm thankful for this stage in my life right now. I'm thankful for the peace that passes all understanding. Well, how about doing a Thanksgiving offering? Lastly, if you want to have breakthrough prayer, keep focused on the things that are true. I want to close with Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Fix your thought on things that are true and honorable and right. Think about the things that are pure and holy, admirable. Fill your mind with the thoughts that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, the fact that your mind is bombarded every day with lies, every single day, you lie to yourself. We have to combat that lie with the truth. Don't buy into those lies anymore. Defeat them with that truth, the truth of God's word. I used to have a poster in my office that says, "The truth will set you free, but before it does, it really hurts." So I want to pray for you today that you will follow through in truth and that you will experience breakthrough prayer and a breakthrough time in your life. Lord, we come before you as your humble servants and thanking you for the opportunity to have a breakthrough in our lives. This difficulty that we're going through today will allow us to bless you and have an encouraged life tomorrow. Help us to learn more about you through these trials. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.